Amen. I was on Facebook yesterday, and I saw something that was really, really interesting to me. It was down in Sioux Falls, and it was a picture of a red Mustang. It was this gorgeous red Ford Mustang. And this was someone who had been driving down one of the streets that had a center island on it. But the center island didn't have a curb all the way around it. It had a slope. And what had happened is somehow, some way, the driver drove right up on that center divide and high-centered that Mustang. And I was just fascinating, asking myself, wow, I wonder what happened. I wonder how that came to be. And just for fun, I scrolled down underneath to see what some of the comments were. And I was really, I don't know, disappointed, maybe disappointed is the word, that they were really snarky comments. You know, it was all those criticizing of what was happening. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, but how many times have I been in really stupid situations like that? You know, whether it was intentional or non-intentional, whatever it was, where you don't mean to drive up on there. It just happens for whatever reason, and the reasons really don't matter. I chose not to enter that conversation, but I was wondering, how would I respond? Because I remember the times when I was the one in a situation like that. I was wondering, how would I respond to help create peace? This is what the author of 1 Peter was telling us today. Seek peace and pursue it. I love how the Message puts it. Seek peace and run after it. Run after it. What does it mean to not simply sit and wait for peace to happen in our lives, in our nation, in our churches, in our families, but we seek to pursue it? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. How do you help create peace? Make peace. Seek peace. And run after it. Because it's really, really important. Let me pull you into the book of 1 Peter. We're walking through 1 Peter one chapter at a time for the next month or so. And today we're on the chapter of 1 Peter 3. Now, we're not exactly sure when the book of 1 Peter was written, anywhere from the early 60s up into about the 80s, somewhere in there. And we're not just sure who wrote it. Was it Peter or was it someone else who was writing in the name of Peter? There's a lot of things that we don't know about it, but what we do know is this. The book was written for a very specific reason. It was written in the face of persecution. So here's what happened. It was in about the year, if I remember correctly, 64, that part of Rome, a huge part of Rome, which was made with wooden houses, caught on fire, and it just wiped it out. Have you ever heard that saying, you're fiddling while Rome burns? That this was the Emperor Nero. Nero was a sadistic man. And it was during this time period that Rome burned, and pretty much everybody suspected that Nero was the one who had the fire set. What he did once there was open property was to go and to build things. He built lakes, and he built palaces, and he built homes, and he built all kinds of things, but he needed the space, and Rome burned, and he got the space. But he wasn't going to take the blame. And so what Nero did was to shift the blame onto this new group that was within this new religion called the Christians. And the Christians were blamed for it. And what this started then was persecution. And that persecution, although it didn't last all the time, and it wasn't just in one place, it would shift places and it would shift times, but that persecution happened for hundreds of years, on and off, here and there. Well, this book was written at the very beginning of that. And what it was written was very specifically to be able to say, here's what you need, here's what you need, here's what you need. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be gentle with each other. I want you to be loving. I want you to be caring. I want you to be compassionate. It was a letter that was written very specifically for encouragement in the face of persecution. And one of the things that it said was, you must have integrity. You must not let down your guard as a Christian. You must always be loving. You must always be imitating Christ. You must always, even when those around you are vicious, even when those around you are killing you, persecuting you, you still need to be a follower of Christ. This is why the book was written. And so when the writer of Peter was saying, seek peace and pursue it, first of all, he was directly quoting the Psalms. He was going back into an ancient tradition to say, remember, remember. But then what he was doing was very powerfully inviting people in brand new ways to seek that peace, to create it, and to form something new with it. One of the things that he said later in the chapter, in this third chapter, he said, you have to realize it's like the waters of Noah. Noah's life was threatened by the waters as the rain fell, but then it was the waters themselves that saved Noah. In the same way that Noah was saved by the water, you are saved by the water of your baptism. When you said that, took the vows of your baptism, you were claiming Christ and being saved by those living waters. And he said, this is the power. You can never remember that you have been saved, or never forget, rather, never forget that you have been saved by the waters of Christ. What does that mean for today, then? How is it that you and I make peace, create peace, seek peace, and run after it? If you spend any amount of time on YouTube, Facebook, pick your network for news. If you spend any amount of time on these networks, the media is going to drive you crazy. And I think that a large part of our anger and our frustration, our impatience with each other, a lot of times stems out of how much we're trying to get information and trying to find accurate information and then try to share it with other people. It's really hard. It's really hard, and it's really difficult for us to claim to be at peace with each other. But this is what we seek. This is what we are after. So how would we do this? Well, I think that it's helpful to remember that John Wesley, in his writing and in his preaching, used to tell the early Methodists that there were three things that you needed to do. The first was, do no harm. The second was to do good, and the third was to stay in love with God. It's really important, whether it is physically, emotionally, however it is, to do no harm to other people. We have a choice of hurting others. Well, how is it that we back off and not do that? We have a choice to do good. How is it that we can make a conscious choice to do good in our lives each and every day? And we have a conscious choice of staying in love with God, which is absolutely crucial. Now, from that, with these foundations, with the foundation of Psalm 34, with the foundation of 1 Peter in that third chapter, and with the foundation of John Wesley's three general rules, then I want to give you some guidance how you can be creating peace inside of this day, inside of this week. I love the story. The story was told of a husband and a wife who lived down in Southern California. The wife had wanted a Mercedes for the longest time, and finally they were able to get that Mercedes. They had saved up for it. They were able to be in a place financially. She loved this car. On the second day that she had it, she was out and driving on the freeways. And for those of you who have ever been to Southern California, you know how crazy these can be. She wasn't used to the car, and she wrecked it. She had a horrible accident with the car. She was okay. And the police showed up. And as she reached into the glove compartment and pulled out the registration, there was a note in the registration from her husband. And it said, "Honey, remember, it's you I love, not the car." I love that. I love that story. How do you make peace? Well, you make peace when peace is one of the last things to be expected. You make peace in everyday situations. You make peace by simply confronting the situations, large and mostly small, that we face inside of our everyday real lives. So here are some of the things then that I can tell you. First thing, it's incredibly important to find your quiet space. What is it that you need to do to just be by yourself? And especially if you're one of the introverts, oh my goodness, you have got to feed yourself. And what is it that helps feed you? Is it a long walk? Is it reading a book? Is it a nice cup of coffee? Is it journaling? What is it that feeds you? Set aside time. A lot of times what we think is that we can't take that time because the kids need us. Or I have to do this. My list is so long. I'm so overwhelmed. Well, the fact of the matter is you've got to put on your own oxygen mask first. If you don't do this, if you do not care for yourself, you cannot care for others. First, find quiet time for yourself. Now, the second that I would give you is this. Don't leave the table. Now, here's what I mean by that. There are times when we really do get into conflict and intense conversation. Maybe it's just a very, very short, or maybe it's a long, ongoing conversation. But what happens is that a lot of times in anger or frustration, somebody will get up and just leave. And the conflict can't be resolved. Now, it's perfectly fine if you say to somebody at the table or in the living room, in the bedroom, "I'm just really angry. I need to go walk around the block. I will be back, and then we can continue this conversation." That's fine. That can be really healthy. But it is when one party in the conversation shuts it down and will not talk about it, there can be no resolution. You can't walk through conflict if you leave the table. So the second thing is, don't leave the table. Now the third thing is this. You don't have to go to every fight you're invited to. I don't know how many times my mom told me this. And we would come home from school and we would be so frustrated at what was happening with our friends or our classmates or whoever. And mom would guide us to say, "Tell me, why did you respond to that? Why did you feel that you had to act on that? You don't have to go to every fight you're invited to." And so even in close quarters with family, you don't have to take every snarky statement. You don't have to take every barbed word. You don't have to. It's okay to let some of those just fall on the floor and become nothing. It's okay. We seek peace. This is what we're up to inside of our homes, inside of our families, our church, our community. Wherever it is, we seek peace. And now we're going to see the nation begin to open up, and we're going to see new controversies come, and we're going to see new conflicts that open within our own communities and within our own families. We're not done with this by a long shot. So how is it then that you enjoy in gratitude, in peace, can seek the peace, make the peace, build the peace, create the peace, and run after it? It's not something that just happens. It's something that you get to create. So this week, may it be that in the love of Christ, imitating Christ, that you seek peace and pursue it. Amen. Would you bow with me? Lord, I pray for all the times and ways that we have strayed away from you, and we are the ones who either started the argument or could have ended the argument. Oh, but we didn't. So, Lord, teach us now on ways that we can help end the argument. Guide us that we might bring peace. In Jesus' name, amen. I would invite you